Some time ago, I brought a message from this same text in the book of 2 Corinthians. Well, I'm going to do it again today and entitle this message, Testing Our Profession, or Testing Our Faith. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, Paul writes these words, Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ dwelleth in you, except ye be reprobate? Examine yourselves. Now, sometimes religious people are a bit harsh with one another and a bit cruel. Many religious people are quite sure that they are saved, and they're quite sure that you're not saved. They are saved and quite sure of it. But when they examine you, they can find no evidence of salvation, and they're quick to judge another man's relationship with God, and usually very slow to examine their own hearts. But I have this to say to you, and I want you to listen to me carefully. The very first point I would make in this message is this. Salvation is a personal relationship with God. Salvation and communion with God is a very personal matter. It's so personal, in fact, that it's quite impossible for you to know another man's heart. Impossible. You cannot. I don't care who you are or who the individual is. Now, I know the Apostle Paul was saved because God said he was. He said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. I know that Jeremiah was saved because God said before he formed him in his mother's womb, before he came out of the belly, he said, I knew him and sanctified him. Now, I know there's some fellows in the Scripture saved, but it's impossible for you to know another person's heart. You just cannot tell. It's impossible for you to be sure that another person's either saved or lost. That's a personal matter. Very, very private and personal. But now, it is not only possible for us to know our own state before God, but we're commanded to know it. That's right. 2 Peter 1:10 says, Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You don't know about the other fellow, but God exhorts you to make your calling and election sure. When you come to the Lord's table, when the bread and the wine is set forth, representing the broken body and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul delivered these words to us. He said, What I received of the Lord, I delivered unto you. Now he said, Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. You can't examine anyone else, but you can examine yourself. You can try your own heart. You can try your own soul. You can try your own relationship with God. You can see if you have any understanding of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this scripture in 2 Corinthians 13:5, my text I read a moment ago. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. So what I'm saying is this, that salvation and communion with God is such a very personal, private matter that it's impossible for you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt whether or not another person knows God or is saved. You can't look on the outward countenance and tell. God looks on the heart. But you can determine your own relationship with God. We're commanded to. We're commanded to examine ourselves. We're commanded to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. We're commanded to examine ourselves when we come to the Lord's table. And then there were believers in the Old Testament and New Testament who were quite certain of their salvation. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And though I die and worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I'll see the Lord. David knew. He said, The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Paul the Apostle knew his relationship with God. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. John, the beloved John, knew. He said, We know that we've passed from death unto life. Well, preacher, how would you go about examining yourself? How would a man go about testing his faith? How would a man go about determining if he really knows the Lord, or if he has a false hypocritical profession, or just a church member? On what ground can we determine our relationship with the living God? Well, I'm going to make six statements, and I want you to listen very carefully to these six statements. I'm taking them straight from the Scriptures. I've written some Bible class commentaries. They've been printed in English, and they're translating them now into French and Portuguese, but they sent them to France to be observed by some preachers over there. And one of the preachers said, he only says what the Bible says. That's all he says in his commentaries, what the Bible says. Well, that's what we ought to say. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. And that's what I'm trying to do, preach the word. And when I tell you to examine yourself and determine your relationship with God, I'm telling you to do it on the basis of the Scriptures. What God says in His word, not feeling. You can't say, well, I'm saved because I feel saved. I'm saved because I was there when it happened. I'm saved because I've turned over a new leaf or reformed my life. Listen to what the word says. Now, I know this. It's very important. Listen to it. A man is not saved. A man is not a Christian who has not been born again. Now, that's what the Word of God says. I don't care if it's me or your pastor or your priest or the Pope or the President or the best man on earth or the worst man, the most religious person, elder, deacon, Sunday school teacher. A person is not a Christian. He is not saved if he's not been born again. Now, that's what the Bible says. Our Lord said to Nicodemus, listen to it. Are we going to go by the Scriptures? If we don't go by the Scriptures, then we're left to just believe anything. Anything we come up with, anything that anybody comes up with, we're forced to believe it unless we turn to the Word of God. And Isaiah said to the Scriptures, if they speak not according to the Word of God, it's because they don't have any light in them. And our Lord said, Nicodemus, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Again, he said, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So I'll answer that question as plainly and forcefully and simply as I can from the Scriptures. I don't care who the person is or what they claim or what kind of life they live. If a person has not been born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, cannot enter. Now, it's important to note. Now, listen to me. It's important to note to whom our Lord is speaking when he said that. He's not speaking to a publican or harlot or drunk. He's speaking to a religious man. He's speaking to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a teacher of the Scriptures, a moral Pharisee, with all the outward form and ceremony and legalism and separation of religion. And he's saying to him that salvation is a heart work. Salvation is not outward form and ceremony. Salvation is not the claims of our lips. It's the condition of our heart. Salvation is a new life. It's a new life created by the Spirit of God within the sinner. That's what our Lord is saying, and he's saying it to one of the most prominent moral religious men of his day. He's saying, you've got to be born again. The first time you were born of the flesh, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You were born of your human parents, and you became a human being with a fleshly nature. Now you've got to be born from above. You've got to have a new heart and a new nature and a new life. Born of God, born of the Spirit of God, born through the Word of God. That's what the Scripture says. Born of God, born of the Spirit of God, born of the Word of God, a new person, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, salvation is not reformation, it's regeneration. Salvation is not education, it's revelation. Salvation is not form without, it's life within. Salvation is not lip worship, it's heart worship. Salvation is not performing religious duties. Salvation is real, sincere, spiritual devotion. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the life of Christ, then he's none of his. So I know this is true when we're examining ourselves. If a man has not been born again, he is not saved. He is not a believer. He is not a Christian. And that new birth is a work of God. It's the gift of God. It's the very life of God. It's a new nature. And it's supernaturally given to us by the power of God. All right, secondly, well, stay with me. And that's what the Word of God says. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Secondly, a man is not saved. He's not a Christian. Doesn't matter who he is, what he claims. He may be the highest religious officer in your denomination. But a man is not saved who has not heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ and believed it in his heart. If he hasn't heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ and believed it in his heart, he is not saved. He's not a Christian. He's not a child of God. Now, can you make good on that, preacher? All right, listen to me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Romans 10, 13 through 15. And verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No doubt, no question about it. Christ is the gospel. And the gospel is Christ. And Paul said in Romans 1, 16, he, this gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. Every man who is saved has heard the gospel. Now listen to me. And he hadn't just heard it with these ears. He's heard it in that new heart, that new life given him in regeneration by the Spirit of God. Our Lord said to the disciples, blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears, they hear, and your hearts, they understand. He said, I speak to the multitude in stories and parables because they've got eyes, but they can't see. And they've got ears, but they can't hear. Well, who ever heard of a man having ears but he couldn't hear? He can hear with a natural ear, but he doesn't hear with the heart. And they have hearts, but they do not understand. Their hearts are in darkness. Now listen, 1 Thessalonians 1, 4, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he said this, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, because our gospel came not unto you in word only. It did come in word, but not word only. But it came to you in power. In power. Power. You know what power is? Electrical power. The power of dynamite. The power of a jet engine. This gospel came to you in power. In the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And you became followers of us and the Lord. Something took place. Something dynamic. Something unusual, something supernatural. The Word came, but it came not in word only. That's how most people have heard the gospel, just words, words, words. That's the reason they argue and debate and quarrel and ask questions and bicker and all these things is because it's just doctrine, it's just tradition, it's just ritualism, it's just words. But to the true believer, the Word of God is life, life, life. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. My friends, a man is not saved. He may have religion. He may be a preacher. He may be a teacher. He may be a moral man. He may be an example in his community. But now you listen to me. According to this book, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Our gospel came not to you in word only. It came in power, life-giving, life-transforming power. God made it effectual. to bring life to the soul and sight to the eyes and hearing to the ear and light to the heart. That's right. Then thirdly, a man is not saved who does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, you mean to tell me that I've got to believe on Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, that Jesus is the Christ in order to be saved? That's what God says in the Word. That's what God says in the Word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Listen to 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made God a liar, because he hath not believed the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life's in his Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life. What kind of life? Eternal life. Salvation. And he that hath not Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hath not life. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. I didn't make that up. I'm reading you that from the Scriptures. As many as received Jesus Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. A man is not saved who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know they had a television program recently and several preachers sitting around, and one of the fellows that was master of ceremonies or the toastmaster, whatever it is, he addressed these two prominent religious figures and he asked them, does a man have to believe on Jesus Christ in order to be saved? And they hemmed and hawed around. I'll answer that question. Yes. That's what Scripture says. He that believeth on the Son of God hath life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth on him. That's what the Scripture says. And if you argue, don't argue with me, argue with the Word of God. I've been commissioned, anointed, called, and sent to preach the Word of God. Not to preach what the Baptists believe, but what God says. And we're going to give an account of what the Scripture says. What do you believe about Jesus Christ, preacher? I believe, number one, that he's God in human flesh. He's God. In fact, he said, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is antichrist. Is not of God, it's antichrist. That's what the Scripture says. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come, he has come into this world in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is antichrist. I believe that Jesus Christ is that prophet of whom Moses wrote. He said that God will raise up from among the brethren a prophet like unto myself, and him you shall hear. And then the voice from heaven said of Jesus Christ, this is my Son, hear him. He's that prophet. And then he's that priest to offer a perfect sin offering and sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and men. Jesus Christ is Lord. My friends, a man's not saved. Now listen to me. And when you argue with the Scriptures. A man is not saved who does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe him to be who he is. Believe in what he did. And understand to some degree why he did it, that God may be just and justify sinners like you and me. And believe where he is now. He's the one mediator. He's at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, will you listen just a moment? Are you familiar with the Scriptures? Or do you just read little bits and pieces here and there? Do you just memorize John 3:16 and Psalm 23? Or do you search the Scriptures to see if these things be so? Do you read the Word of God? Do you pray over it, meditate upon it, and diligently study the Word of God? You can't just pick it up and let it flop open somewhere and put your pencil down and say, I'll read that and do whatever that says. Search the Scriptures. The Bereans did. They search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. And I'm telling you what it said. He that believeth on the Son of God hath life. Now listen to me. Fourthly, listen. A man is not saved. He's not a Christian who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's revealed in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 16:22. Listen, this is what the Word said. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. What's that saying? Let him be accursed. The Lord's coming. That's what the Scripture says. Salvation, my friend, is not just to accept Jesus. Salvation is not just to believe that such a person lived and died and rose again. But salvation is to love him and to worship him and be obsessed with him and devoted to him. Over there in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says something that's very interesting. He tells them to beware of false preachers, the circumcisers of the flesh and the merchandisers of soul. Then he says this, we are the true circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Jesus Christ, who rejoice in Jesus Christ, and who have no confidence in the flesh. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. I love thee in life. I love thee in death. I love thee as long as thou lendest me breath. So a man is saved only when he comes by the grace of God to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We see him at the right hand of God. We're glad he's there. We see him bearing our sins on the cross and we rejoice in his shed blood. We see him there ruling and reigning over his kingdom. And we rejoice that God has exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess in heaven, earth, and under the earth that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen to me. Number five. A man is not saved who is ignorant of the righteousness of God in Christ. The righteousness of God. Now, my friend, you say, I don't quite understand what you're talking about. Well, now you listen to me. We've got to have a righteousness. God's holy. And in order to appear in his presence, in order to commune with God, in order to be accepted of him, we've got to have a holiness, a righteousness. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Now, if you don't know anything about his righteousness, his provided righteousness in Christ, then you've got to go about to establish your own righteousness. And that's what Paul said about these people in Romans 10. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They're ignorant. They're ignorant. I want them saved. And they're not saved because they're ignorant of God's righteousness. And they're going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted to the righteousness of God, for Christ is the righteousness of God. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And let's see if I can make that plain. Listen to me carefully. Number one, we have no righteousness. There's none righteous, no, not one. Number two, we have to have one, a perfect righteousness. He said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. Number three, we can't produce one. Not by works of righteousness which we've done. Number four, God has provided a righteousness. By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. By another man's obedience, we were made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, he who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God has provided a righteousness. Where is it? In Christ, in his life and death. Has it become mine? By faith. By faith. By faith in Christ, I have a perfect holiness. By faith in Christ, I have perfect justification before the law. By faith in Christ, that's where it is. All right, the sixth thing. a person is not saved who does not continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. Colossians 1:21 says, "You hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh to present you holy, unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith and be not removed away from the hope of the gospel." So you see, this thing of salvation is we have been saved, we're being saved, and by the grace of God, we shall be saved. And repentance and faith are not isolated acts. They're a state of being. They continue. Have been, are being, and shall be. And Christ is the Son over His house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence firm unto the end.